Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly the films Nuremberg, Hedda, and Bugonia.
It does appear that one-word titles are back in fashion because I've got three of them this week. They're all new movies. Nuremberg and Hedda and Bugonia. So, yeah, okay. Nice and tidy and concise. And I'd like to start with Nuremberg, which is, in a lot of ways, in fact, in most ways, the best of these three films, in my opinion. It's a very interesting movie. It's also, by the way, about 2.5 hours long, so you have to be ready to invest some time in Nuremberg. But, hey, it's a big topic, so I guess it takes a big movie to get into it. This is a movie directed by James Vanderbilt, who has not done a whole lot of feature film directing before. And I have to say it's a very well put together movie, and it's on what is in some ways a familiar topic. It's about the Holocaust. More specifically, it's about the immediate aftermath of the Holocaust when the war crimes trials took place in Nuremberg, Germany, where a number of the Nazi leaders were on trial for their lives. And that's a topic that's been covered in movies before, documentaries, and an occasional fiction feature film has plugged into that. But this movie takes an unusual angle toward it because it is about a psychiatrist who was called in to deal with some of these Nazi leaders who were on trial. The idea was that if they could get inside the minds of these people and understand them better, it would help the trial to proceed more smoothly, more effectively, more successfully. And then also just the psychiatrist himself really feels that this is a fascinating case. He can really, really learn some interesting things by delving into some very unusual personalities here. So the main person who I should mention, our psychiatrist's name is Douglas Kelly. He's played in the movie by Rami Malek. The Nazi with whom he has the most contact and who really becomes his special patient is Hermann Göring, who is played by Russell Crowe. Other characters in the movie include Michael Shannon, who plays a presiding legal authority in the trials, Richard E. Grant, who plays one of the British officials leading the trial. Colin Hanks comes in after a while as a second psychiatrist. John Slattery, who I always know most from Mad Men, plays an army colonel who is kind of running the show logistically. So a really interesting cast. But mainly we have this interplay between these two fascinating characters. We have our psychiatrist, Douglas Kelly, and our main Nazi in the film, who is Hermann Göring. Göring, for a long time in the movie, refuses to reveal that he speaks English. Of course, this enables him to hear what all these English speakers around him are saying about him and that might relate to him and his trial and so forth. So very sneaky of him, of course. But eventually it turns out that he does speak English, and he develops a real relationship with the psychiatrist. It's a good psychiatrist from all appearances. He's not always trusted by the other Americans and Brits and other people who are in charge of all of this because, again, they do at one point bring in a second psychiatrist to sort of give a second opinion, and they don't necessarily agree about things. But mainly our psychiatrist, who seems to know what he's doing, is fascinated with this opportunity to develop a close professional and, to some extent, personal relationship with one of the leaders, not only of the Nazis, but of the Holocaust and all the horrors that went on there. So it's a very interesting subject. Now, from my assessment of the film, I have to say I divide Nuremberg into three different parts. The first part is really interesting as we get to know, and by first part, what I mean is roughly half hour to 45 minutes. We meet the psychiatrist. We find out some things about him as a human being, as a professional. We meet Hermann Göring. We meet Michael Shannon again, who is his character, who is running the whole show. We meet various characters. The Colin Hanks, other psychiatrist, doesn't come in for a while. But it's really interesting. If to get to know these characters and to get to find out that this movie is going to be mainly about the relationship between the psychiatrist and this leading Nazi. And we get into that. The second third of the film, I would say, and I don't want this to be taken the wrong way when I call it rather conventional, because, of course, any kind of material that is dealing in a serious and thoughtful way with the Holocaust or the whole Nazi era, is there's nothing conventional about that, and there's nothing that should be minimized about that. It's one of the most important topics we can possibly deal with in movies or in art. However, as movies about the war crimes trials and about the Holocaust and about the Nazi era go, the second third of Nuremberg is rather conventional. We get, for example, some of the atrocity footage. It's always horrifying to look at that, but we've seen it in so many movies before, at least you are if you go to the movies a lot. And then the third part of the movie, I would say, the third third, it picks up again and it gets interesting again as the trial begins to develop real momentum and starts to move toward its conclusion. Overall, I have to give a somewhat mixed review to Nuremberg, but it is mainly a very positive review. Also, a special praise for some of the performances. Russell Crowe is terrific as Hermann Göring. Rami Malek is very, very good. He's done a whole lot of TV work, but he was very good as Freddie Mercury in Bohemian Rhapsody several years ago. And he's been good in other things, too. And he's an interesting actor, and he does a marvelous job with the psychiatrist at the heart of this movie. So Nuremberg, not a 100% rave review from me, but a very favorable review, and I fully believe that people should see it. Among other things, it will remind us all of the horrors of the Holocaust, which must never be forgotten. Next movie with a one-word title today, Hedda. This is based on Hedda Gabler, which is a very, very major and important and famous play by Henrik Ibsen from back in the 19th century. And this is, of course, an updated version of it that makes various changes while retaining the basic guts of the original play. The basics are there, although a whole lot of the superficial things, the surface things, have been changed a lot. A movie was directed by Nia DaCosta, who also wrote it, based very closely on the Henrik Ibsen play. The star is Tessa Thompson as the title character, Hedda Gabler. I have to mention immediately a couple of other people in the movie. Imogen Poots is in it. She's always good. But also Nina Haas, the German actor, who is excellent as probably the second most important character in Hedda, who is a friend named Eileen Loveboard. Nina Haas is a terrific actor, and she does a marvelous job with this part in this movie. But the main character is Tessa Thompson, playing Hedda Gabler. Our main character, Hedda, has gotten married, and she has a not an entirely happy early relationship with her husband. He is a very serious scholar who is involved in some very serious scholarly work. And then a couple of other people come into their orbit, friends of theirs, people who are there, who come and visit them in their home. We see, and this happens in the play, but it happens even more in the movie, we see that there are some guns in the household. And boy, the movie just plants those guns and plants them again and reminds us that they're there. So you know that those guns are going to play an important part in the climax of this movie, which they do, although somewhat differently in the movie than they do in the play, but pretty similar. Anyway, we have the relationship between Hedda and her husband, between those two and some friends of theirs. There is another scholar who is involved who has written something, and one of the big twists to take place in the plot is that this other scholar has a drinking problem and manages to lose his manuscript, and then Hedda herself plays a very important part in what happens with that part of the thing. So, okay, that's all this complicated stuff. Now, as I said, Hedda is based on Hedda Gabler, and the basics of the play are all there, but there are big changes. For example, in the way the guns play a part in the plot, it's slightly changed. For one thing, all the action is condensed into basically one long night when a party is taking place. This is very different from the play. The play operates over a longer time span, and different things happen that involve different characters. The movie is all condensed into one night. I don't feel that was necessary, and I don't feel it completely works. Another thing is that we have this party atmosphere going on all the time. That's also very different from the original play. It certainly makes the movie very colorful. There are lots of people wandering around. They're sometimes doing amusing things, sometimes doing dramatic things. There's a lot of color in this movie of all kinds. It's a good-looking movie in various ways. Kind of dark, but good-looking. So, okay, that's another big change that was made. So it's not really Hedda Gabler as one might already know it. It's a bit different from that. The main problem I had with Hedda, the movie, is that it's just too busy. Again, it was written and directed by Nia DaCosta, based on the Henrik Ibsen play. And the camera is just always bustling around, and there's all this fancy editing going on all the time. And it just makes the whole thing seem too overheated, overcooked, overdone, overwrought. I use all those over words to describe it. It's not a bad movie, but I just wished it would relax once in a while. It's based on a play which is very, very, very dialogue-driven. And there's plenty of dialogue in this movie, that's for sure. But it's just diluted by all of this cinematic stuff, which is just not necessary, and which is just, I'll use one more over word, overdone. So, Hedda, I can't really get enthusiastic about it. I really wish it had just stayed closer to the original play and relied more on its perfectly good dialogue and less on all of this overcooked cinematic stuff. So, Hedda, relax. Life is short. Take some time and smell the flowers. Just give us some more of that dialogue. That's what really counts here. And our final movie today with a one-word title is Begonia. And I have to stress, it is not begonia, like the flower. It is begonia, like some sort of a bug thing. And sure enough, we start out with a whole lot of bumblebees. This is a movie that's going to have something to do with bees, although it turns out to have not that much to do with bees. Our main characters, there are three main characters, and two of them, played by Jesse Plemons and Aidan Delbus. Jesse Plemons is a beekeeper. That's what he does, one of the things he does. Okay, so that's where the bees come in. And there's a lot of metaphorical stuff involving bees in Begonia. He lives with his cousin, whose name is Don. And the cousin is definitely mentally challenged, either that or he's just not very smart. But Teddy, Jesse Plemons' character, is sort of the dominant figure in their little two-person household. And we find out that Teddy, played by Jesse Plemons, is a conspiracy theorist. And he has an interesting conspiracy that he believes in. He believes that the Earth has been invaded by people from the Andromeda Galaxy, and that one of those people is right nearby where they live, and that they have got to find this person and do something about this person, or the Andromedans will take over the entire Earth and turn us, human beings, into the equivalent of bumblebees and insects and bugs. Okay. So what do? Teddy and Don, these two? Well, with Teddy very much running the show, they kidnap the CEO of a huge corporation played by Emma Stone. Her name is Michelle. And they bring her to their house, and they tie her up, and they do a little torturing of her, and they do all kinds of bad things trying to get her to confess that she is an alien from Andromeda and wants to help take over the planet Earth. Okay, that's quite a conspiracy to believe in. Now, you can take Begonia somewhat seriously by saying that it is a film which is blowing the whistle on conspiracy theorizing and showing through this sort of satire how preposterous it is and how ridiculous it is. And on that level, I think Begonia is a perfectly good movie. The problem is that the plot of it is just so crazy. It really is. And I actually like it best near the end, when it gets really, really crazy. One of the problems with Begonia is that it just isn't quite crazy enough most of the way through until it becomes really, really crazy. So, okay, Begonia is the work of the filmmaker Yorgos Lanthimos. It was written by other people, but he directed it. And he started out, in my opinion, as a really interesting director, making movies like Dogtooth and The Lobster and The Killing of a Sacred Deer, which is a sensational movie from a little less than 10 years ago. Then he started making movies which were much more popular, but to my mind were not nearly as good. The Favorite, for example. His most recent one before this, Poor Things. I just don't like those movies. And it's sort of what I said about Hedda. They're too busy. They're too over the top. They're too overheated. They're too overcooked. Well, Begonia is not quite as frantic as they are. And for that reason, I like that aspect of it. That's pretty good. But the trouble is that it just never really gets that interesting. The conspiracy theorists are crazy, but what they mostly do is to kidnap a woman and torture her and try to get her to admit to something, which seems to us to be pretty preposterous. And it just isn't all that interesting. Now, I have to mention that Begonia is based on, and in fact is very directly based on and very close to, a Korean movie from back in 2003 called Save the Green Planet. directed by Jang Jun-hwan. And it tells exactly the same story with just a few variations. So among its other flaws, Begonia is also not very original. In fact, I like Save the Green Planet better because I think it's livelier and more interesting. So Begonia, if you're really into science fiction, if you really want to get an offbeat take on conspiracy theorizing, then by all means, go catch it. But it just didn't do much for me. I think it's the best Yorgos Lanthimos movie in a while, but it just didn't really turn me on. So that is my more than one word story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Nuremberg, Hedda, and Begonia.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.